Can you hear me? We're getting ready to go. Well, good evening, church. How's everybody tonight? Hope everyone's had a good week, and glad you come be with us tonight. And welcome to all. Welcome to those out there in Facebook land, and if you're out there in the parking lot listening on the radio, and we're just glad you took the opportunity to be here tonight. And oh, as always, we start off with a song, and we're going to sing number 483, which is Footsteps of Jesus. Let's stand and sing.
Good to see all of you. I'm thankful for Brother Wayne and Brother Jeremiah and Thomas Village and for allowing me to spend a few days with Amy. I figured she'd been to Hawaii and Aruba. I really had to show out, so we went to Pigeon Forge. Yeah, buddy. But I did go to the Stampede for the first time. But she made me climb mountains. I don't go on vacation to climb mountains. You want to lay by the beach and all that. But it's good to see all of you tonight. Good to be in church with you. It was good watching Sunday. I think we were in Cracker Barrel watching, but it ain't the same when you ain't here. It's just not the same. But tonight we're going to have our prayer service. For those of you that's watching or listening, it's good to be with you. And in case you haven't heard, nobody loves you like Jesus. Nobody's done so much for you as Jesus. And if you'll let him, he'll do even greater things. But it's been about a month since we've had a prayer service. Brother Roy has given me a book, and I've started reading it. And within the first couple of pages, and it's by Brother Chuck Lawless, if you remember when Jonathan Falwell came and we had the SBCV convention here. He taught, and it's called Discipled Warriors. And he mentions three things that are important for a church to be growing and producing disciples. And listen what he says about the second one. The second, I contend that prayer is so evident in the early church that prayer itself should be a purpose of the church, particularly against the backdrop of church growth, strategies, methods that often neglect spiritual realities. We need a renewed focus on prayer. Praise God. That just kindly helped let me know that we need to be praying. And so before we go any further tonight, do we have any words of praise or testimony? Amen. Amen. Don't y'all wish it rained a little bit? I tell you, it's... Whew, I just hold on to his promise that he will not flood us again. Amen. But before we go any further, we are going to have a little bit of a 5 to 10 minute discussion on praying on God's Word, the power in praying God's Word. Brother Ken, do you mind handing the study guides out? We'll probably need some more. But our scripture basis for our prayer meetings is found over in the book of Matthew, chapter 18, and we'll be in verse 18. But tomorrow night, 6:30, we're going to begin visitation again. You don't have to be a man. You can be a teenager. You can be a female. But come, I've got 12 right now that if you don't have anybody that you want to visit, that we've got somebody for you. 6:30 tomorrow night, and we try to go out two by two based on Scripture. Plus, it's just good to have another witness with you. And then this Sunday, we've got two things coming up. Sunday, well, really three things because it's fifth Sunday and it's time for the Lord's Supper. But Sister Shara Keegan will be here from Operation Christmas Child, and she's got a presentation for us. And then Sister Tammy is going to be telling us about their trip to Alaska and all that they did there. Then on August the 15th, at 9 a.m., it'll be WOM, but that evening at 6 o'clock, we'll be having a welcome back community celebration, and we're hoping to have 100 or more. But we'll be just basically letting the community know, hey, we're open for business. Amen. And then September the 18th, Awana's going to be beginning back. And then September the 25th, we'll be having picnic, preaching, and praise in the park. We said it'll start around 10:30. We'll begin to settle in. But looking forward to the new year that's coming up and praying that God be with us there. Now, y'all have been in prayer services enough to know that how this thing goes. So when I read off the topics, just grab it, okay? That's yours. You claim it. And if not, you know I will call on you. So, but before we do, we want to go through our prayer needs tonight. Again, I'm kindly having to start over because I lost my latest one. So just holler at me if I'm not on the, if they should be taken off. We do want to remember the backslidden, marriages, the bereaved, specifically the John Henry family, as I think they laid him to rest today. And then Debbie Kendall. I couldn't remember her husband's name, brother.
He passed away, but she told me she'd.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And then we want to continue to pray for Miss Teresa Cobb, Brother Danny and Sister Sherry, and Sister Nancy and Brother Leonard. Sister Mosh, or Sister Denise, had to go to the hospital, the ER, one night this week. They thought that she had a blood clot and a pulmonary embolism, but it ended up being that she has pneumonia and a tumor in her arm. So continue to pray for her. Brother Jeff Hass, it has COVID, but I talked to Sister Amy, and basically they're just kindly riding the time right now. Brother Chris Boyd has a infection. And then, praise God, we want to pray for our growing families in Thomas Village. Brother Sister Hannah and Brother Logan Shepherd, Ashley and Jared Glass, and Sister Caitlin and Brother Chris Cole. And, you know, I've said it, that best days are yet ahead. But God's doing something in our church right now. And not only is he giving us natural growth, but he's bringing in folks from all over. So the best days are yet ahead. We want to continue to pray for Bridget Holmes and Sister Natasha Sweeney, Brother Howard and Sister Molly Edwards. Brother Howard, he fell, and you know, he's had a brain bleed, but also now he's got swelling in the brain and is basically just kindly there right now. Audrey Irvin, Michael and Charity Fields, Santana Hale, Jane Williams, Jared Collins, Linda Fletcher, Herschel Jesse, Chuck and Jean Dennison, Jean Fannin, Peggy DeBoard, Melanie Lester, Kathy Kynes, Sister Moselle, Ruth and Nick Roten, John Alston, Brenda Stevens, Linda Thompson, Anthony, J.D. Nielsen, John Bryce, Jeanette Carter, Tommy Mullins, Wilma Daniels, Jasper and Pam Brown, Mary Jane Carter, Wilma Williams, Karen McDavid, Lisa Eastep, Billy Carter, Aiden Jordan, Kathy Baldwin, Miranda Caldwell, Dr. Awan, Mickey Gillum, Rhonda Doran, Larry Tomlinson, Mike Brown, Gail Stidham, Charlotte Bishop, Kathy Smith, Penny Horton, Junior Stidham, Chuck Kearney, Randy Meeks, Brandon Johnson, Terry Biller, Debbie Starnes, Margaret Williams, Jesse Bull, and Pam Savarsky. If you don't know, she took about a story and a half tumble and busted herself up when her porch fell. And continue to pray for her as she's mending. Jason McKnight, Heather Markham, Betty McCorkle, Maggie Statzer, Teresa Holden, Brother Roger and Sister Virginia, Junior Wade, Daryl Hurd, Shalene Harris, was she already taken off? Hazel Dingus, Jimmy Taylor, Kim and Dale Owens, Candy Worth, Deborah Taylor, Daryl Green, Paul Davis, Genevieve and Jerry Flannery, Vodessa Lawson, Cindy Osborne, Denny Lemon, Charlene Lofton, C. Edmonds, Shannon Haynes, Laura Evans and family, JT and Gladys Jones, Rhea and Ruth Osborne, Justin Bowen, Paul and Thomas Stoyer, Carol Carter, Ezekiel, Robbie and Daniel Jordan, Eddie and Chris Barnett, Ethan Bowen, Daisy Richards, Dakota McQueen, Chris and Jennifer Strange, Judy Webb, Tyler and Donna Haas, David and Felicia Cantrell, Lance and Sabrina Stollard, Mr. Pippin, Haley Webb, Carol Dishner, Darlene Porter, Rhonda Bryant, Jalen and Scott Bledsoe, John and Carmine Shoup, Chelsea LeBlanc, Steve Neff, Linda Jackson, Helen Bowen, Phyllis and Hoyt Bledsoe, Lottie Johnson, Cecilia and Frank Pennington Sr., Randall and Edie Gunner, Nicholas Patrick, David Starnes, James Connor, Evan Bach, Brother Jeff C.'s brother, Rick Salyers, Jeff Smith, Stuart Owens, Sarah Freeman, Jackie Levy, Tony Nunley, Jim and Sonia Rogers, Sandra Dishner, Herman Sampson, and Tracy Carter. Anyone else tonight need to be added? Mm-hmm. Take them off. Any take off or add to?
I think on
Santana Hill.
Mm-hmm.
That's the one that passed away. I thought it. I knew there was something in there that I should have taught. Santana Hale. You're going to have to tell them last two again. Hangle Dingus. Sarah Lawson. Bodessa. Okay, sis, you got to give me them two. Them last two. Yes, ma'am. Anyone else? Broyles. Thank you, sister. Mm-hmm. Spell that last name for me. Hey, that's easy. I can deal with that one. What was that first name? Anyone else? Spell that last name. Anyone else? It's going around. And you know, the ones I've talked to haven't lost their smell or anything, but they've ached real bad and been hurting and no energy, just wore out. Let's do remember recovery through Christ and Brother Jack and Sister Tina. Our federal, state, and local officials, as we're looking to the elections coming up before long, the flood victims, and then pray for our economy. This week, I've been reached out to by three families and made aware of another one, and two of them needed food just to get through this week, and the others were needing finances to keep a roof over their head. And it's just hard right now for a lot of people. So continue to pray for that. Anyone else? Mm-hmm. Yeah, if they needed food, we give them food. That's what I was doing my senior the other day. Yes, sir, you can. That's wasting money, buddy. I'm cutting up, brother. Thank you, brother. Does anybody know who was in the wreck down there by the river road on Friday? Two were taken in ambulances. So just pray for them. I believe they were almost dead. Was it? There was about four cars caught up in it. All right, as you're turning to Matthew chapter 18, something that I think's been kind of funny, and it's just the hand of God. You know, we've been going through the book of John, looking at the seven signs of Christ, the miracles. Well, we've had two speakers in between that, Brother Jihadi, and he came from John 3:16, and then I'll be doggone if Brother Jeremiah, where'd he come from? John 8. We're on the sixth sign. Guess where are we going to find that at? John 9, the whole thing. But tonight we do claim this verse, and we're going to talk about praying and the power of praying the Word of God. In Matthew 18:18, it says, I tell you, whatsoever you bind on earth will have been bound in heaven, and whatever you have loosed on earth will have been loosed in heaven. And again, truly I tell you, if two of you agree about any matter that you pray for, it will be done for you in the name of my Father in heaven. So have any of y'all ever been taught the principle of praying scripture? Anybody? I was at least 10 or 11 years old as a Christian when it became into my life, and it came into a hard time that me and Amy were going through, and really she brought it in to our family. But It's a, if you've got your thing there, let's go through it real briefly. Your study guide. And again, we're claiming that scripture about binding and loosening. It's an amazing thing that as blood-bought children of Christ, we don't simply have the responsibility of prayer, but we have been given the privilege of going directly to the one eternal, self-sustaining, holy and righteous and good Creator. However, like many things that are in our lives, prayer can become nothing more than an empty, rehearsed, and rushed tradition. Think about on Sunday mornings. Many times, we're not singing from our hearts when we're singing these songs. We've sung them since we were little kids, right? We don't give any thought to the words that are coming out of our mouth. Many times, we're just going through the motions. We're doing what good churchgoers do, right? And that's the way it comes into our prayers sometimes. Just having no purpose in our prayers, there's not really an importance, nor having any benefits in our relationship with our Messiah. But as Jesus taught in Matthew chapter 6, you remember what he said. He said, we're not to pray as hypocrites do, and we're not to pray with vain or repetitious prayers. But think about what that means. Vain means empty or trying to grasp the wind. And then the idea of repetitive, it kind of just becomes a chant. I mean, God is great, God is good, let us thank you for our food, by his hands we are fed, thank you, Lord, for daily bread, amen. You know, I could quote that and never give it a thought to it. I prayed it every night for 18 years when we sat down at the table. And sometimes our prayer times simply become that. Also, as we've discussed, matter of fact, it was our last prayer service, our prayers can even become ungodly. We get to a place where we, quote unquote, pray for things we desire that make our lives easier, things that are not in alignment with the Bible and the teachings of Christ Jesus, yet, as good churchgoers do, how do we end it? In Jesus' name, amen. Or basically we're saying, for the sake of Christ, do this. So let's, really and truly, there's probably 10 to 12 reasons why we should pray Scripture, but we're only going to go through four. So look at the first one. Praying Scripture brings the believer into a deeper relationship with Jesus, with our Savior. Think about what the Bible does. In the Bible, we talk about it being a love letter from God, right? And in it, he reveals who he is. He reveals his desires for his creation. He tells us what his purpose and will is. But not only that, we also see in the Jesus Christ himself. And the more we understand God, then the more we a deeper relationship we have with him. It's just like with your spouse or with a friend. The more you recognize the things that they like, their dislikes and all that, then what do? You make efforts to make sure that you give them things that are beneficial to them, that they enjoy. You do your best to keep away things that would agitate or whatever. And that's what we do when we pray the scriptures of God's Word. It allows us to have a deeper understanding of God, and in a deeper understanding, we have a better relationship. You talk to people, I can't help but think of Brother Jay and Sister Ruby. I mean, think of how good they do each other, how long they had been married with one another. And every day they would learn a little bit more, and they would grow deeper in love in their relationship with one another. So it is important that we pray Scripture, for if nothing else, it helps us become more acquainted with our Creator and in a deeper relationship. Number two, praying Scripture brings the believer in alignment with God's will. Praying Scripture, praying the verses that we read in the Bible, brings us, the believer, into alignment with God's will. In our last Wednesday's prayer service, you remember we talked about what does it really mean to pray in the name of Jesus. To ask in the name of Jesus means that we find our identity in Him. He is His right standing, His relationship, His oneness with the Father. That is what we've been given. And when we pray in His name, we are praying in oneness with Him. And the Creator looks upon me, praise God today, when He sees me and when I go to my knees in prayer, or when I say, Dear Heavenly Father, because of Jesus and His work, He doesn't see my sin. He doesn't see what does it say about the devil? He is the accuser of the brethren. But God, when God looks at us, He sees the blood of Jesus. And hallelujah. So when we pray in Jesus' name, we're praying, God, I am standing united and in with my Messiah and my Redeemer. This petition that is going to your throne is coming from Him. The second thing we talked about is we talked about what it means to pray in Jesus' name. Jesus has always been right with the Father and with the Spirit. Before He ever robed Himself in flesh, He was at one with the Creator. As He lived on this earth, He was at one with the Father. You remember, and we're going to see it this week. I think that Brother Jeremiah talked about it, that I and my Father are one. He's always been the Beloved. Remember, when He was baptized, the Father spoke, and it was audibly heard, that my Beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. When we pray in Jesus' name, we are using His authority, excellence, and virtue. Our request and appeal to the throne of God, asking our Heavenly Father not to look at us, not to see where we've fallen or my shortcomings, but to look past me on to Jesus Christ, His perfection, His holiness. And we're not simply asking, Lord, hear my prayer, but we're saying, Lord, answer my petition because of my relationship with Your only begotten. And then thirdly, we talked about how that there's a reality of what we are taught in the book of James. We ain't going to the third one yet here. Well, yeah, we are. There's a reality that when we pray, and we don't like to admit this, but we pray vain and selfish prayers. Remember, he says in James 4:3, you ask and do not receive. Why? Because, one, you ask wrongly, and two, you ask so that your passions will be fulfilled, or that your desires or your lust will be answered. Think about the police officer. He's not trying to enforce his laws or his will, but the city, the county, state, or country under which he's serving. Military officers serve under the name, the flag, authority of the United States of America. People give donations as many to many charities in someone else's name so that the person they donated in name will be given recognition and honor. When we ask in Jesus' name, we are doing the same thing, not based on my authority, not based on my desires, but we're doing it based on Christ's authority, Christ's will, and Christ's purpose. Whatever it is that we're asking God for, we're saying that it is in line with Jesus. It's in line with His kingdom. It's in line with His teaching. And it's in line with what He wants, His will to be done. So what are we truly asking Christ for? I mean, think about it. We pray, Lord, make my path easier today. Lord, give me something, or get me out of the situation that I've got myself into. We pray a lot of times selfish and foolish prayers, and that's why he says you ask wrongly. You're asking not for the glory of the Father, not so that Jesus will be lifted up. You're simply asking so that your life will be made easier. And then there is the reality that many times we simply do not know what to ask for. Have you ever been in a place where you didn't know what to pray? That's why I think it's awesome over in the book of Corinthians. What does it say that the Spirit does for us? It groans. There's been times where I've prayed that all I could do is weep and say the name of Jesus. And it also says that Christ prays for us and the Father is there. The circumstances and situations that we find ourselves are simply beyond our understanding. Also, we don't see the entire picture. Yet, if we could see it, we still couldn't understand it. He says in Isaiah 55:8, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, and my ways are not your ways. This is the Lord's declaration." The Bible is the unchanging, eternal truth, plan, and purpose of God given to you and I. So when we pray, "Lord, I'm going to quote your word back to you. You said that you will never leave me nor forsake me." What are we doing? We're praying what he has promised. When we pray his word, we can be assured that we're praying his will. Now, sometimes when we pray for things, how many of you pray for somebody's healing, but then you think, "Well, I'm going to add, but thy will be done at the end," because I want to make sure that it's confusing. We're in many situations. But praise God, when we pray the Scripture, his truth, and what he's given us, we're standing in oneness with the I Am That I Am, the Eternal One. Third thing, praying Scripture will place the believer in an attitude of praise and thanksgiving. Praying Scriptures will bring us as believers to a place of praise and thanksgiving. If I were to ask each person in here, and we were to be honest, quality time in prayer and thanksgiving is probably one of the most awkward and difficult aspects to maintain. It's probably really the shortest part of our prayer time, to be truthful, when we get in our prayer closet. And this is the reason, because we are sinful and we're fallen. We look for the negative. I mean, think about it. When the old-timers would go out, the first thing that they would say is, "How beautiful is that sky?" "No, is there a bear around the corner? Is somebody coming to get me?" I mean, the idea, make sure everything's good. We, as fallen people, we can pick out the negative without even trying. It's easy to focus on what is negative. And it's difficult for us to sit there and to go through our list. That's why at Thanksgiving, we challenge one another. Get you a book out and write it down, what you're thankful for, all that God's done for you. In fact, I would say the major portion of most people's praying are given to give me this, take away that, fix what I've messed up. Truth is, our minds and emotion naturally take us away from the idea of thanksgiving and praise. Look what Romans 12:2 says, though. "Do not be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may discern what is good and pleasing and perfect will of God." Think about it. Psalms is the obvious book, and the writer of David, but others. Think about when they declare how great God is. He declares how good God's been to him and how the blessings of God fall upon him. When we read the Scripture, we know that we call Psalms the song book of the Bible, we're really singing with David about the splendor and wonder of our Creator. And think about Job. In the hardest times of his life, he was still able to affirm that God is righteous, he's wonderful, and he does all things well. We reject, when we pray the Word of God, specifically the idea of praise and thanksgiving, we are rejecting our natural and carnal fallen nature. We're rejecting the negative, and we're trying our best in the power of the Holy Spirit to submit to the truth of how awesome and great our Savior is. When we give the praise of God's word, we willingly offer up the sacrifice of praise. And if you look there in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15, somebody look that up. It tells you that we don't think about New Testament sacrifices, do we? We only think about Jesus Christ being the New Testament sacrifice. But in Hebrews, we're told that the sacrifice of praise is always accepted by our Father. Anyone there? Thank you, brother. Any thoughts on the idea of praying Scripture so far? All right, the last thing is this, number four. Praying Scripture brings the believer to a place of confession and repentance. Praying Scripture brings us to a place of confession and repentance. Just like that our physical body and our intellect is negative, we're fallen, we focus on the negative more than we do the positive. Here, we don't like to, our mind, our emotions, and our ego, we don't like to admit that we're imperfect. We don't like to say, I'm a sinner. I mean, if it was easy, we'd see people every Sunday coming up here and confessing their sins, right? But we don't like it. What we as sinful humans, now we love to compare ourselves with other sinful human beings. We rationalize our pet sins, amplify the faults of those around us, and find a comfortable spot and say, well, at least I ain't as bad as them. But in the Word of God, not only do we find the perfectness of God's law, which we're told is a mirror in the book of James, and we look into it, where it reveals our flaws and our failures, but we come face to face with a spotless, sinless Savior. We also see the prayers of people like Moses, Abraham, David. What did Abraham say? David say, search me, know my hearts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and restore the joy of thy salvation. So, I don't think God would mind us praying that. I think that we're repentance there. And we see not only with David, but Peter, Paul, and many others as they declare their pridefulness, their lust, unforgiveness, anger, jealousy, and every other sin that can be committed. But in the same pages, we read of a Creator that is not willing to simply count us out, but is willing and ready to forgive us, to renew us, and to remake us in the image of His only begotten. And then there's so many more. When we pray, here's another one. When we pray Scripture, we don't get caught up in just ramblings. You know what I mean? Sometimes you get praying and you just kind of wander off, and next thing you know, you ain't prayed in 5 minutes. You've been thinking about something. Our flesh and our mind, it's sneaky, buddy. And it'll do all it can to keep us from truly coming into the presence of our Creator. So before we go any further, any thoughts on praying Scripture? I tell you, it's not taught very much, but it's powerful. When you pray Scripture, you're claiming the promises of God. Some would say you're reminding God of His promises. No, you're not reminding Him of His promises. You're reminding yourself. So again, tonight we are praying Matthew chapter 18, verse 18, where we're told by Christ, I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, truly I tell you, if two of you agree about any matter that you pray for, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. All righty. So tonight we've got about 9 different issues, topics. The first one is praise and thanksgiving. What do we have to be thankful for? Well, praise God, it looked like it was going to be raining again tonight for the backyard Bible study, but this I know is the second time that He's cleared. I ain't seen blue skies in how many days, but praise God for backyard Bible study. The creative summer learning. I laughed the night I was able to be with them. I laughed harder than I've laughed in years with them young boys that were there. If you want to hear a good story, I'm a collector of stories. I got some good stories. The Alaskan mission, and then praise God what He's doing in our church. So, is there anyone that wants to open us up in praise and thanksgiving tonight? All right, I'm going to take it. How about the lost and the backslidden? Now, we know we've got over 200 on our prayer list, but how many of you in here could at least mention one name that needs to be saved tonight, or you're concerned about their eternal? Raise your hand. Amen. Anyone want to pray for the lost? But Keith, The names that I read out tonight, there's over 150 that are physical needs tonight. Many dealing with COVID, cancer, sickness, bipolar issues, so much stuff going wrong. And you know what? I read a shirt the other day. It said this, especially after COVID, normal is not coming back, but Jesus is. Normal is not coming back, but Jesus is. Anyone want to pray for our physical needs tonight? All right, Brother Ken, I'm going to give you that one, okay? The next is to be a soul-winning church, that we be given to outreach and evangelism. I want to read you something else in the book that Brother Roy gave me. It's from 1955 about a man named Donald McGovern. He was a missions administrator in India, but he got to looking at what they were calling evangelism. And just like now, he saw that the word was being redefined. He said missionaries were erecting hospitals, starting orphanages, building schools, but they weren't reaching the lost or producing followers of Christ. You know, giving clothes and food and all that, it's good, and we should do it. But if we're not giving them Jesus, then we're not doing the mission and the ministry of Christ Jesus. Anyone? Brother Ted? Let me write it down on the other one. The next one is for our ministries here. I won't read them all off, but we've got many. Plus, it's a new year's coming. This is September, right? Is when it begins. Anyone, Brother Otis, you mind praying over that? Number six, new and effective ways to minister and to love people. We're living in a time where we're isolating and insulating the society. We get alone and we don't want nobody else to get inside of it. And so we've got to be willing to go out. And you know, like Brother Emmanuel said, you can't ask people if they know Jesus Christ or if they believe in Jesus Christ over there in Pakistan. And I was reading an article today about how dangerous Christian nationalism is right now. So anyone want to pray for our ability to minister to others? Brother John, will you pray for that one? The next one is pray for me and the deacons that we keep safe physically and spiritually. We walk in wisdom and discernment of the Holy Ghost. And not a moment goes by that our Savior is not working in our lives. But the opposite is true as well. When God's working, the devil's working. Brother Gary Bledsoe, would you pray for that one? And then the binding and loosening, specifically agreeing together that any spirit of division, pride, apathy, negative attitudes, judgmental, selfish cliques, that they will be bound up. They won't have any place to run or have a position in Thomas Village Baptist Church or in the members of this body. Anybody want to pray for that one? Brother Roy, will you pray for that one? The binding and the loosening? Okie dokie. Anyone? Brother Paul, will you pray for that one? And who wants to close us out in praise and thanksgiving? I'll do that as well. All righty. We do remind you that the altar is always open, and there's no better place to be than at the altar. But let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, in Jesus' name, I come to you tonight. And Heavenly Father, Lord, just I'm thankful that you love me. I'm thankful that you called me. I'm thankful that you saved me. I'm thankful that everything about salvation is under your control and under your authority. And Lord, I confess to you tonight that I'm a sinner, that I fail you in many ways, and I ask you to forgive me of my sins. But God, you have been good to me. Heavenly Father, Lord, you have been better to me than I've even been to myself. God, you've allowed me to have a wonderful family. You've allowed me to see you work in ways. Lord, even this week, as Lord, within 5 to 10 minutes of a prayer being prayed, that your hand has worked and you've done amazing things. God, you're doing things at Thomas Village Baptist Church, though we may not see it, we may not recognize it. But Lord, you're doing things in a way that nobody can take the credit. Not me, not the deacons, not anyone else, but that God is doing something for the glory and for the purpose of his kingdom. God, I praise you for these new babies that's being born. I lift up Sister Hannah. I lift up Ashley. I lift up Sister Caitlin tonight, Lord, that you just be with them. And Lord, that we'll be what they need us to be, that we'll be able to help them disciple and raise up their children in the way that it should go. God, I praise you for our backyard Bible studies, our creative summer learning. And God, I know that you're working on things that are going to be growing out of those different ministries. But God, again tonight, thank you for loving me. Thank you for doing what I could not do or even realize I needed done. And it's in Jesus' name. Brother Keith, would you come and pray for the lost tonight, the lost and the backslidden?
Oh, precious Heavenly Father, Lord, we do thank you, Lord, for letting us come and be a part, Lord, of hearing your word and hearing it taught. And Lord, we pray for all our lost around us. You instruct us to go out, Lord, and tell others about you. And that's exactly what they're doing over there in the village tonight, Lord, is with a backyard Bible study. They're going out and telling others about you, hoping to win souls to you. Lord, we pray for all the backslidden. Lord, I have family members, Lord, that growed up in church, but when they left home, it seems like they left the church. Father, they no longer see need to seek your will. And I just pray, dear God, that you would put on their hearts and their minds, Lord, that, Lord, without you, they're nothing. Nothing at all, Lord. We just thank you and praise you, Lord, for what you are doing in our church. Let us not be a church that just sits, Lord, and don't go out and tell others about you. And I just pray, dear God, that the way we live our life each and every day, that people will be able to see you in us and will want, Lord, what we have. Lord, forgive us of our many failures, Lord. We just fail you so much and that can never repay you enough, Lord, for all that you've done for us on Calvary's cross. And Lord, we just thank you for it. Lord, we ask this in your precious holy name. Amen.
Brother Kim, would you pray for the physical needs that we've lifted up in the individuals?
Father God, as we just humbly bow, just taught in school the physical needs that we have to have to live is, you know, food, clothing, and shelter. But most importantly, we need you.
Yes, Jesus.
We need your hand of protection upon us and where you can lead, guide, and direct us in all things that we do. And there's so many lost people around here that don't realize that. You're the way, the truth, and the light.
Yes.
And so just help us realize what needs we need. And we thank you for the ones that the needs that we have, not the needs, but the what you provided for us, you know, our homes and our work and our food we eat and the cars we got and just the people around us, and just thank you for all that. And we just ask this.
Thank you, brother. Brother Otis, for our ministries such as Awana, OMBs, Women of Omissions, and our orchestra, our college and career, and so much more. Number 5.
Father, we just come tonight thanking you for this time we have together. We pray, Lord, that you forgive us of any sins we've done today and the sins in the past. You tell us that you're going to throw them as far as the east is from the west, never to be remembered. So we don't need to keep bringing them up before you because you've already taken care of that. We have many ministers in our church. Some, and I've been a member a long time here, but I can't stand here and say I can name every one of them. But I know every ministry takes someone to lead it. And I'm just praying if you're listening tonight and you want to be involved in church, you want to be involved in a ministry, come sit. Come hear what you can do to help us to grow this community, to grow others in Christ, Christ-likeness, to see the lost saved. We have ministries, Lord, for so many occasions, so many needs in our church, but they're not anything without someone to help to lead them and direct them and pray about it. Henry Blackaby teaches in the mind of Christ that you're always working. You're working somewhere. And our duty as Christians and church members of Thomas Village is to find out where you're working and to get ourselves in there and work with you. You can do it on your own if you chose to, but that's why you ask us to go and to tell and to teach and to preach and to baptize. Those are commandments, and we ignore those sometimes. We want to hear the good things, but we don't want to hear the commandments because we can just push those aside. But we just pray for each ministry here, each ministry that has someone attached to it, a person's name, your name, Jesus' name.
Yes.
And Father, we just pray for each one of those ministries that you would grow them, not for our goodness, but for your mercies and your grace, that we can glorify you and we can win souls to you. And we just thank you for hearing our prayers. And again, we thank you for each ministry here in our church. And sometimes I think some people don't take those ministries seriously. It's almost like we're playing church. It's almost like when I say children's church, that they're probably just going back there playing. But you know what we do back there. You hear the words that's said. You hear the teaching to those children that they can know your way and your goodness and your mercies.
Yes,
but some people don't take that ministry serious. Some people don't take other ministries serious in our church. That's why they're not a part of it. And I'm just asking that you would change hearts and change people so that they would want to be doing things to improve the lives of our church members, the lives of the children in our church, the lives of adults in our church, with more Bible study, with training, how we should go and do and act in situations. Lord, we need your help, your guidance. I need your help and your guidance every day. And I just thank you for hearing our prayers and our petitions and for each ministry here. And I appreciate each person that helps to sponsor a ministry because sometimes it's very difficult. But you always told your, even your disciples, it's going to be difficult times ahead for Christians. And as our pastor always said, we're hated around the world. Christians are hated. Of all the religions, we're hated. And you told your disciples, the world hates me and they'll hate you. And Father, we know it's not going to be easy. It's not an easy task, but just give us a strength and determination to see these ministries grow and see them through, that you can be glorified. Not me, not the pastor, not the deacons, not the church member, but you. You are to be glorified.
Jesus.
And without your glory and your grace and your mercies, we're nothing as Brother Keith said, we are nothing. If we go away from you, we're nothing. We become, as Paul wrote in his writings, we become as dung. We're nothing. And you would throw it away or burn it. And God, just help us do those things that need to be done to see our church grow spiritually, not just in number, but in spirit, and that we know the truth, that you are eternal, you are never failing, and you love us so much. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name.
Thank you, brother. Brother John Franklin, lead us in a prayer that
Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I just humbly bow here before you right now, Father, Lord, just praying for all of our church members here at Thomas Village Baptist Church, specifically all of our believers, that we would just have a heart for the lost and dying world around us, Father. Lord, just make us effective ministers, Father, Lord, and I pray that we would know that we need to take your word into the world as it is, Father. It is perfect.
Yes.
You are perfect. You are a perfect, mighty God. And it's so easy to attempt to attract the world in by wanting to become more like the world as a church. But, Father, we don't need to do that. We need to stick to what your word and your truth say. Mm-hmm. And we need to... and the community needs to see that we are different, Lord, as believers and followers of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, that there's something different about us. Lord, we're not like the world. We're not to be like the world. You tell us that. So, Father, Lord, just make that, a foundation of our ministry out into the community, Father, Lord, of just being like you, like Christ. And not like the world, not trying to become like the world in order to attract the world, but giving the world the truth. So I just pray, Lord, that we would just take this, Lord, we would just take your word with boldness out into our community surrounding us, Father. And I pray all this in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Brother Gary. Would you lead us in prayer over for myself and the deacons and just all our leaders here, that we be protected and empowered?
Father God, as we come boldly into your presence, Lord, we know that you have said that we can come boldly into your throne, that not only boldly but humbly, God, realizing that you are Almighty God, that you are the creator and sustainer of all that is. And Father, you have called us to a calling, a special calling of salvation, O God. Mm-hmm. And Father, we thank you, Lord, for the men that you have called to service, Lord, our pastor, the deacons, and all those, Lord, that serve your church, Lord. We know that the calling comes from you, and Lord, we thank you for their willingness to step up and to serve you, O God. And to serve your church. And Father, we pray for them, Lord. We ask you to bless them with the presence of the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit, that they may do your will. And Father, we pray that your body, Lord, will stand with them to encourage them and to just to reveal your love for each person, Lord. So Father, we just ask you to bless each one, to bless this body of believers, Lord, to your glory and to your praise and the lifting up of the name of Jesus. And it's in his name we pray.
Brother Paul, would you pray that whatever is against God's will at Thomas Village will be banned? His spirit, his unity,
Father, as we come to you this evening, we do thank you, praise you for who you are, and acknowledge, Father, there's none like you. You are the Almighty. You're the Ancient of Days. You're the existence of everything. Father, you're so mighty. You just spoke it into existence when you want to. And Father, we just want to honor you and live for you and serve you in the manner you would have us to live for you. And Father, I know it's no coincidence that I've been asked to pray on this subject tonight, because you've been pressing upon me all day the state of the church here. And Father, we need you. We need to clean our lives up, clean our act up, and live like we're supposed to for you. And Father, I ask you to bind us together as one body, faithful to serve you, committed to serve you, Father. And Lord, we understand there's hindrances in the church, and they're all spurred by Satan. And we just ask, Father, you would clean us up, straighten this mess up in every church. I know it's not just this church, but it's in this church too. Father, the hindrances that are being a problem. Father, I just pray that you would keep us united, help us to focus on you and to serve you. And Father, I pray that we would serve you in peace and harmony. And Father, for those hindrances, such as jealousy, yes, greed, mm-hmm, just Satan's salve of gossip, Father. Oh, God, I pray you would attack that in this church, yes, and take it out of this church, because it does nothing but destruct and try to destroy the body. And we don't need that, Father, and I know that. So help us to be faithful and true to you. And Lord, I just pray, like you say, all churches have problems. Clean us up, I ask, Father. If it takes shaking the foundation of this building, so be it. But Lord, help us understand we're in the last days. Yeah. We don't have much time left. Anyone in their right mind can look and see that. So Father, help us to be serious about our service to you, our reaching out with the gospel to those around us. To Father, we'd ever be more committed to serve you. Help us to finish strong, I pray. Now, Father, may you be honored and glorified in everything said and done in this church. It's in Jesus' holy and precious name I ask now.
Yes, we just claim that, Lord, you said that the gates of hell shall not prevail against your church. And Lord, together we just say that this is your church. And where it's not your church, Lord, you win the battle and make it your area. But we've talked about the power of praying Scripture. We began in the spirit of Matthew 18:18, the binding and loosening. So I'm going to ask all of you to stand with me, and this is how we're going to end. Over in Matthew chapter 6, Christ told his apostles that it is after this manner that we should pray. And we know it as the Lord's Prayer, but I see it more as a model prayer. So I'm going to ask us all to pray together. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forget our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. And all God's people said, amen. All right, forgive me that I went a little long. I ain't preached in three services. 6:30 tomorrow night.